Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. And Mac, you trust, bro.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's going on in the world of the offense, Devin?
It's a work in progress. I've never worried about the offense.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Don't worry about the offense, Chris.
Is he off the phone yet?
He is.
I'm very worried.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, NFL analyst and founder of Sharp Football Analysis, Warren Sharp, ESPN Dallas Cowboys reporter, Todd Archer, comedians and activists, Chad Kroger and JT Parr. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, sir, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on our program. We say hello to our YouTube audience, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We also say hello to everybody out there on the Westwood One Cumulus Podcast Network and the also terrestrial radio affiliates coast to coast on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. We say hello to you sitting on Odyssey, streaming us on Odyssey, as is your right. And we got a great show in store for you here on the program. We've got TJ Jefferson. Let's start with you. Let's light the candle first. How are you over there, sir? You doing all right? Well, first, you're
Rich, I'm really lighting
to this program.
Wow. I'm really lighting the candle. This means a little bit more today because I'm lighting the candle for Tyron Smith. And, you know, I'm just sending, if I can use a little real estate, to send messages out to, you know, Andrew Whitworth or our buddy Mitchell Schwartz to see if maybe playing in Dallas might be something they're interested
okay.
in.
Okay. Sounds very good. Terrific. Good to see you over there, Jay Felly. How are you?
What's up, Rich?
Good to see you. And Chris Brockman will be joining us here shortly on the Rich Eisen Show. He's backstage for the moment, working on a couple of things. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Here he comes. Here comes Chris Brockman. Are we up on YouTube? Is that what's going on, Christopher? Are we up?
Yeah,
we good?
Yeah, I think we should be good.
Okay. That was a conditional phrasing. You have plans to? You have... we're expected to be?
Or we are officially up right
perfect.
Now.
Well, we say hello to our YouTube streamers. How are you over there, Christopher? Good to see you.
I'm great. Let me hit mute real quick.
Terrific.
All right, we're back.
Okay, here we go. Very good. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the program. All sorts, all good in the hood here on the program. So our guests today on the program, we're kind of all over the map.
As we should be.
We are. Two, I guess, one would say activists, provocateurs, comedians, performance artists,
all of the above,
podcasters. Now, two guys who have their own Netflix show, JT Parr and Chad Kroger, the good friends Chad and JT Go Deep, which is available for streaming on Netflix, starting coming up, available right now. They're going to be on this program together. Won't that be interesting? In hour number three. I have no idea how that's going to go. I have a lot of questions for them as they have been. They've been showing up at city council meetings throughout the country quite a bit. Now they've got their own show on Netflix, and they will be on this show in hour number three. Hour number two, Warren Sharp will be here. I follow him on Twitter, and look at this book, man. Warren Sharp's 2022 football preview. Available where all books can be acquired. This guy is as smart as they come. He talks about smart football. He's part of the Ringer as well. Warren Sharp will give us his thoughts on the upcoming 2022 season. And then there's Todd Archer of ESPN, who broke the story that starts this program. He's joining us in about 17 minutes' time. I had this feeling about the Dallas Cowboys months ago. Their month of March and then their follow-up in April, in my mind, did not make them a better team. In a matter of fact, if you look at what happened and the moves and losing Randy Gregory and sending Amari Cooper away and knowing that Michael Gallup wasn't returning and then their draft, the way that I looked at it all, put it all together, I thought to myself and then said into this microphone that the Cowboys did not improve themselves. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, that was the number three item back in June that I said I was willing and trying to talk myself into about the 2022 football season. And I said that the Cowboys were not going to be as good as last year. And now, today, August 25th, I think something happened yesterday to confirm that the Cowboys are not as good as the team that won the division last year and then got one and done by the San Francisco 49ers. Tyron Smith, their anchor at left tackle, whenever he is healthy, wound up hurting himself in practice yesterday. And you're reading the first blush reports that Jerry Jones thought it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
And you also heard that his teammates thought it wasn't that big of a deal, that I guess he gave a grunt as he came off the field, and his teammates can now interpret his grunt. And his grunt that they thought could be interpreted was that he was going to be okay. He's very far from okay, to use the Pulp Fiction phraseology. And it appears he might have his 2022 playing privileges revoked by the injury gods. My colleague from the NFL Media Group, Ian Rappaport, adding more information to what Todd Archer and Adam Schefter reported yesterday, that it was feared to be a significant leg injury, perhaps his knee, and as it turns out, it was his hamstring, his left hamstring torn. And according to Ian Rappaport, where it tore was not in the middle of it. It tore off the bone as it attaches to the back of his knee. And that sounds as awful, or it sounds pretty awful, and it probably is as awful as it sounds. So 2022 may be done for them. So it goes from Tyron Smith to Tyler Smith. And that's the kid that they drafted 24th overall out of Tulsa. And they're planning on putting him at left guard because, oh, by the way, their offensive line, totally different than last year now. We all know Lyle Collins, he's now in Cincinnati. Connor Williams gone. And now Tyron Smith. Just take a look at how this team performs without Tyron Smith and how they perform when he's there. Totally different team.
Yeah.
Any Cowboy fan will tell you that. Obviously, when you change your anchor left tackle to somebody else, there's going to be a problem or a deframent of consistency.
Like
some
the
teams,
way you put that.
That's the way to put it. Like you won't have the same consistency at the position. But this guy has been such a major part of the reason why the Cowboys, year in and year out, are favorites to win their division. And he's not there. And I don't know, man. You could sit here and say, we'll have him back in December. Okay. Good to know. But this kid out of Tulsa, they were planning on putting him at left guard, and now they're going to have to put him out there on that island of the left tackle position. And here we go. Here come the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Here also come, with some offensive Shaq line Barrett. Troubles.
I know, but okay.
I'm just pointing it out.
Everybody's got offensive line problems, too. My Jets, they're going to have to reconfigure, but weapons outside more than what the Cowboys have. No Amari Cooper, no Cedric Wilson, no Michael Gallup.
We were just
no Tyron
lines.
Smith. I mean, seriously. This is part of the reason why I'm screw it. I'll just say it right now. I was going to wait till the first week of the season or the week leading up. I'm choosing the Eagles to win the division. This seals it for me. I'm choosing the Philadelphia Eagles to win this division. I think they have more of a chance to win it. I understand who Dak is. I understand who Jalen Hurts is becoming. But I look at the weapons that the Eagles have on wide receiver. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm saying it. They're better than what the Cowboys have. And I know CeeDee Lamb, everyone is expecting him to have a breakout season. Is Dak going to be upright long enough to find him? And why wouldn't somebody shade their defense his way every single time? You're going to put your best corner on him, and then you'll shade your safety if there's a problem. Everybody knows where Dak's going to be looking. And I like the way the Eagles have built their defense. I like the Eagles' running game. I like the way that the Eagles are playing. They made the playoffs last year themselves. The Eagles had as many playoff victories last season as the Cowboys, having both made it. This is significant, to say the least. And for it to happen now, I mean, Tyler Smith, that's the phrase that I heard for the first time when I came into the NFL every day, day in and day out, the Parcells phrase. You got to drop your huggies is what he would always tell rookies. Drop your huggies real fast. He's going to have to drop his huggies like right away.
Our buddy John McClain is saying that Jerry should call up the Texans and try to get Laremy Tunsil.
How many times is a team going to trade Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah, it seems like he could be got for a first-round pick. Maybe a player in there.
I don't know. They seem to think they're believing in who they got. But here comes Shaq Barrett. First up, put up the Cowboys schedule if you don't mind. Wow.
You want to take another crack at this, TJ?
First up, it's Tom Brady. No. It's just take a look at it.
Take
it
another crack.
A minute.
It's going to stay.
First up, it's TB12 coming in. Okay. With Evans, and it looks like Godwin and Russell Gage and Leonard Fournette, and they do have their own offensive line problems. That is significant as well.
We also have a kind of a beast on defense,
you
too,
sure
that's
do.
Going to be coming for a 45-year-old quarterback who's missed significant time in the offseason. That's all I'm saying.
I would trust Brady to navigate the problems with his offensive line better than what Dak will do. Huh? I will take that.
So losing two starting linemen, less significant?
Yeah. Okay. No, you've lost three. You've lost three from last year. It's a totally revamped offensive line. And now your best offensive lineman, when healthy, is no longer healthy again. And then the Bengals?
I just say this. He's great, but he has missed. He's played 13 games the last two seasons.
I know.
So they have a lot of experience playing without him.
I think this is a majorly significant injury. That's the way I'm looking at it. And now I'm putting my chips right on the Philadelphia Eagles. It is their division to take. Put up that schedule one more time if you don't mind, Hoskins. Because they take no time in getting deep into playoff intense action. Two home games against the Bucs and the Bengals. Before visiting the Giants on Monday Night Football, everybody laugh all you want about the Giants. Go ahead and laugh. You just did.
Okay.
You're at the Rams. Then it's their first game against Philly. Philly could just take everybody by the lapels, snap them back, and put right on the table their calling card for the season. It'll be at home. It'll be on Sunday night. It'll be on NBC. The whole country will be watching. We shall see. And then they hope by December, really, he's going to have surgery to put his hamstring back on his knee bone. And we're going to see him in what, 10 weeks, 12 weeks? Really? Is that what we're going to do? Okay. I hope so, for your sake, because he's that important.
He really is.
All right, I'm putting up the poll. Who wins the NFC East?
Thank you. Put all four there. Let's see if there's anybody out there who wants to put their eggs in the Wentz basket. Because Chase Young, by the way, did you see that? They put him on PUP.
Yeah.
We won't see him until week five.
Weeks, yeah. That's awful.
That's quite the dust up in that defensive locker room. And then you've got the Giants. We'll see what they look like. I've got my top five sleeper teams of 2022 all lined up for today's program. And then I've got three guests of all across the landscape. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We say hello to everybody in the 457 chat room. We'll pay attention to what you're saying as well to us. And then you could call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, Todd Archer of ESPN, who first broke this story along with Adam Schefter, what he's going to tell us is going on in that Dallas Cowboy camp. Because Jerry put on, as you would imagine, the spin and smile face that everybody's going to be good, kid on campus. becomes a big man on campus by the end of the year. Well, Tyler Smith, you are now on the clock. A lot of people thought the Cowboys would have to bring him along slowly. That thing is out the window. We're back with Todd Archer in a sec. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, along with our YouTube stream, and also those who are listening in on Odyssey and our podcast listeners as well. This man, along with the great Adam Schefter, was the one who broke the story yesterday that Tyron Smith was significantly injured. Now we know it is going to keep the left tackle, anchor of the makeshift changing Dallas Cowboys offensive line out for potentially the entire 2022 season. On the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from ESPN is Todd Archer. How are you doing, Todd?
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well. Walk me through what's going on with Tyron Smith, sir, please.
Suffered a torn hamstring off the bone in practice last night. MRI, first got some good news. MRI, hey, the ACL's intact. Because when you went down and you saw the video on Twitter, it's like, ooh, that doesn't look good. But then later on, you get more word, and it's the torn hamstring. He could have surgery as early as today. Meeting with Cowboys doctors, might seek a second opinion as well. But just talked with Jerry Jones after his appearance on First Take, and he said the battle cry now is to get this taken care of, and we'll be that much stronger when Tyron comes back at the end of the season when the Cowboys are getting ready for a playoff run. So clearly Jerry still has the optimism that even losing your 8-time Pro Bowl left tackle and replacing him with a guy that's never played left tackle potentially on your roster is still going to be all well and good for the Dallas Football Cowboys.
Well, what do you think, Todd? What do you think? Is it just Jerry putting the smiley face on and spinning things? What do you think,
Todd? Well, that's what he always does, right? Yep. As you know, but I do think there's an element of the people at the Cowboys that say, we've played a lot of games without Tyron Smith here lately. And if you look at it, they're 17-16 without him in his time here with the Cowboys. Now, the stats tell some different stories of how effective Zeke is, how effective Dak is when he's in and not in. But they did draft Tyler Smith in the first round to be the left tackle of the future. The future just might now be September 11th against the Buccaneers and see how that works. But it was interesting that Mike McCarthy, when we talked to him yesterday, was saying, I have the starting left guard, right? If we had to play a game today, starting left guard would be Connor McGovern, not Tyler Smith. And Tyler still has a lot of room to learn and grow. You don't just put rookies out there. Hmm. Well, now you might need to put him out there at left tackle. It's not the best way for the Cowboys to start the season.
I mean, that's it, Todd. I mean, I guess the best laid plans, the plan was to get this kid up to speed whenever they felt comfortable putting him out there. And the idea that so many people were saying on draft night is he's not going to be able to play in this league without considerable seasoning. And now, one day after the coaches saying, we don't even know if we could hide him at the guard position, which is kind of the phrase that you hear when a kid is not ready to be put out on the edge, that says everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and look, the other options aren't great either in terms of what they have in-house. Josh Ball was a fourth-round pick a year ago, didn't play a snap because of an ankle injury, spent the year on injured reserve. He's filled in for Tyron Smith here in the preseason when Tyron's not played in the preseason games, when they've worked him in and out of the first-team group. I guess he's been okay, but again, never played in a game. Matt Wiletko is a fifth-round pick this year. Only returned to practice after missing about 3.5 weeks with a shoulder injury. He played at North Dakota. So you go from starting tackle at North Dakota to starting tackle for the Cowboys, having to block the Buccaneers front. That's quite elite. Aviante Collins is the guy who spent last year on the practice squad. He started one game in his career. I asked Jerry, you know, do you go look for outside help? And he's like, we're going through all that, but I really don't want to comment on it. Again, right now, what are the options that are available that are even more palatable than what you have? And I guess the name at the top of the list will be Eric Fisher, who played last year in Indianapolis, obviously had a long career with the Chiefs, helped them get to the Super Bowl, but tore his Achilles before they won the game. He'd probably be the highest name recognition guy out there. But again, what's he been doing since last season? Is he in shape? Is he ready to go? So there's a lot of questions the Cowboys will have to answer and how they want to attack this.
Yeah, our friend down in Houston, right? John McClain tweeted out they should trade for Tunsil. That's what he just tweeted out. I mean, is there anybody available, like, of that name, of that ilk?
Well,
that...
Isaiah Wynn in New England's a name that has been bandied about as he could be on the trade market. Now, he's supposed to make $10.4 million this year. And it's, yes, the Cowboys have $21 million in cap room right now, but a good portion of that was being allocated to their practice squad and in-season call-ups and all that. So they might have to do some salary cap maneuverings to get an Isaiah Wynn or I can't imagine them making a huge play for a guy like Laremy Tunsil, especially if they believe Tyron Smith is going to be back in December. But all options have to be on the table if you're the Cowboys and if you're Jerry Jones, because, look, we know he believes they have a team that can win. So now you go out and prove it. This is why you say player acquisition is 365 days a year, 7 days a week. Well, and you've kept your powder dry, to steal a Jerry term. Now they can go out and either get the best guy or get something much better than what they have in-house.
ESPN NFL Nation Dallas Cowboys reporter Todd Archer here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is the current status of the wide receiver room? Walk me through that right now, Todd.
CeeDee Lamb and the rest is basically what it is. Again, the only other guy that's caught a pass from Dak Prescott in a regular season game right now is Noah Brown, and I don't think he has 40 catches in his first five seasons in the league. So they're banking on Michael Gallup not being ready to play the opener. The good news there is they've not put him on PUP. Jerry told us yesterday they don't expect him to open the year on PUP, so he will be back sometime in September and not miss the first four games after tearing that ACL last January, had the surgery in February. So, but again, here's a guy that's been rehabbing the knee. How much can you expect from him when he's just coming off that injury to contribute and play so much right away? Seems like that would be an issue. They like Jalen Tolbert, their third-round pick. Noah Brown has had a good camp. Timmy Fehoko, a draft pick last year, didn't catch a pass. He's had some good moments. So if you're a fantasy football person out there, draft Dalton Schultz, because he's going to catch about 100 balls this year. Might be for about 8 yards a catch, but he's going to be a big factor in this passing game.
And what about the running game? I mean, Pollard is such a home run hitter. I've been talking about Tony Pollard for 2 years now, thinking he's not on the field enough. And, of course, I receive feedback on that I'm a Zeke hater because I'm a Michigan man. That's not true at all. I mean, it keeps Zeke healthy. It keeps him ready to be the guy in December and January with Pollard out there as well. What is the plan in the running back position for this offense, again, now that Tyron Smith is going to be out for the foreseeable future, Todd Archer?
Right, they were going to lean on the running game regardless, and I don't think that really changes. In fact, it might be more on the running game in some respect if they can, and if they can solve that left tackle spot. But Zeke is still the team's number one ball carrier, and he'll remain so. I don't believe it'll be anywhere near a 50-50 split, maybe 60-40, somewhere along those lines. But I do think you'll see Tony Pollard mixed in more together with Zeke out there, maybe even some at receiver. He's a guy that, you said it, he's dynamic when he gets the ball in his hand. I can still picture him running away from everybody in New Orleans late in the year inside the Superdome for a touchdown. They're committed to get him the ball as much as they can. It might not be in carries, because that'll be Zeke's domain, and especially down in the red zone and down by the goal line. Zeke still had 10 touchdowns rushing last year, so he's still effective. Zeke is a guy, Rich, that he's had a tremendous summer. He looks great, and if you go back to the first five games last year, really, before the injury, he was on pace for a 1,500-yard season. So the Cowboys believe that Zeke is got, if he can stay healthy, and it's always an if for everybody, that Zeke can still be an elite back. But you'll see a lot of Tony Pollard out there this year.
Todd Archer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So give me the bright spot. What's the bright spot for the Dallas Cowboys over the last several weeks? Oxnard, preseason games. What are they talking about how 2020 is going to be better than people think right now?
Well, clearly the Tyron Smith news puts a damper on everything, to a degree, because of all the stuff we've just talked about. But the less talked about subject of this team,
yep,
it's just how good the defense is going to be, in my opinion. Micah Parsons, second year, Trayvon Diggs coming off an all-pro season with 11 interceptions. Dan Quinn, knowing what he has, those guys knowing Dan Quinn, you've really seen a team that its identity has kind of changed from, hey, the Cowboys are all about their offense, right? Go Romo, Witten, Dez, DeMarco Murray, even through the Dak era, where now you're talking about a team that is going to be built in some ways on its defense with Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Trayvon Diggs, Jaren Kearse. There's a lot of pieces on this defense that Dan Quinn has at his disposal that I think will make them better than they were a year ago, even if they don't get as many takeaways. So the season's not over. Jerry said, hey, we're still going to line them up and play. We'll be out there. I think how they get it done is going to be different, and a big part of that is going to be a defense that will be better than it was a year ago when it surprised a lot of people.
And I guess then what is the hole that Tyron Smith leaves outside of just playing football? I mean, how significant is that, based you can tell?
You have a $40 million quarterback. It's awful nice to look over and see number 77 out there as the protector of the blind side. Again, they've gotten used to life without him, perhaps too much, and this might be his final year with the Cowboys because of all the injuries and age and everything catching up to him. But he is a staple guy in that locker room, a guy that's very quiet, and when he does talk to the offensive linemen, they'll listen to what he says. But the only loss that in my mind that could be bigger than losing Tyron Smith would be losing Dak Prescott for an extended period of time. And we saw what happened to the Cowboys in 2020 when he went down with that ankle injury.
All right, so last one for you. I will give you the floor on the story that everybody is assuming will be under the surface the entire season, and that is Mike McCarthy coaching for his job. Is he, do you think, this year, Todd?
Yes, I do think that's the case. We saw Jerry Jones be a decade-long patient with Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, you always have to remember that out there. Always remember that Jerry said one of his biggest regrets is only giving Chan Gailey 2 years. But I do think, for a variety of reasons, that he is coaching for his future. And the Sean Payton shadow will linger over this team. But, Rich, I don't think Sean Payton will be this team's head coach in 2023.
Why?
I believe it will be somebody else. Could be Dan Quinn. Could be Kellen Moore. Could be someone we're not even thinking of. But I don't think it'll be Sean Payton. But that shadow, every week when they lose or if there's a coaching decision that goes wrong, everybody is going to try and tie Sean back to the Cowboys because of the relationship he's had with Jerry, being a former assistant, all that stuff. So, but the good part from my perspective on Mike McCarthy is how he's just kind of said, hey, I don't care about this stuff.
Right.
I can't control it. Have fun with your narratives. I'm just going to coach my team. And he seems like a much more relaxed coach this year than he has in his previous couple seasons.
Yeah, I spoke to him after the draft, and that was right in the moment where, you know, everyone was really wondering, or was it maybe before the draft, I think?
Yeah.
It was after the combine. I spoke, that's what it was. It was after the combine, and after he made those comments Jerry did that was on DallasCowboys.com talking about how so many assistants don't take jobs elsewhere as head coaches because they know they've got a great shot to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, right, you know, eventually. And so he did sound totally at peace, if you will, with that, although a little bit disturbed in how he had to talk to Dan Quinn saying, hey, man, you know, don't leave just because you think it would be awkward if you stay. And so put that all together. Why don't you, though, think that Sean Payton would be the guy? Why are you so, decisive?
I think that was something that maybe a couple, 3-4 years ago almost came to fruition when Jason Garrett was the coach. But I just think too much time has passed. And the money that Sean may or may not want might be out of Jerry's realm of what he wants to pay coaches. Remember, he's the guy that said, I can get 500 coaches in here to win a Super Bowl back in the Jimmy Johnson time. If Sean wants to have full and final say, that's never happening here, despite the head coach having an awful lot of influence. He still wouldn't get everything he wants. I think it's all of us trying to put two and two together, and it may equal four, but I think for the Cowboys, for people that have talked with Jerry, I just think it's a something that is kind of past its overdue. It's not going to happen now.
Todd Archer, thanks for the call, sir. Really appreciate your work and your time here. Let's do this again soon. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rich. I really appreciate it.
You got it. That's Todd Archer of ESPN covering the Cowboys for them. All right, TJ, what'd you make of that? You're the Cowboy fan here.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, Tyron Smith, one of the greatest linemen of all time, plays, you know, one of the most physically demanding and important positions on the football field. We all know how important the left tackle is. Of course, losing him is going to be tough. It's going to affect the run game because, you know, running to the left side is something that the Cowboys do quite often, and why wouldn't you? But, I mean, it's football, right? It's the next man up, and that's how you got to look at it. You can sit here and be down, but the fact of the matter is you got some highly paid, you know, experienced, professional, grown men out there, and, you know, you just got to step up, next man up. That's how it's got to be, unfortunately.
Well, it sounds like, again, if the defense is as good as advertised in the way that Todd Archer just laid it out there, what do you got? You got to give them 21 a game. Let's just say that. Let's be generous and say 21 a game is what'll get you home more often than not to win your division. 21 a game. 24 a game. Let's do that. So your kicker can't miss.
No.
And you also can't miss in the red zone. You can't settle. You got to get those points. Let's hope as well your defense provides some. And with Gallup needing to get up to speed as well, and you just heard Todd Archer describe the wide receiver room as CeeDee Lamb and everyone else.
Yeah.
And that get Dalton Schultz in your fantasy league because it's going to cost he'll get you 100 catches, right? 100 targets.
I wrote his name down.
And so, to me, certainly if you've got to play a quick game, you got to get that ball out. Certainly if you're concerned in the first month, 6 weeks of the season that your kid and Tyler Smith isn't ready completely. Quick game. I'm telling you, man, that's got Tony Pollard written all over it. You got to get him and Zeke on the field together. You got to put him in a slot. You got to make him.
Yeah, he's electric.
Like a jack of all trades. You got to make him like your, get him in space and let him do his work and get him running 60 yards because he's in space and he busts one, and that's how you get your points.
I have no problem with that.
I know you have no problem, but I know that is so easier said than done. But
hopefully
I think
Kellen Moore is paying attention.
I don't know why I'm so Tony Pollard. I'm fixated on him.
Well, I think you do have a little anti-Zeke bias because of how safe, but it's not going to carry
that.
Over to this.
Stop
you know,
that.
Maybe
do.
Just in the bowels of your
Come
soul
on,
a little
man.
Bit.
I do not feel that way about him. I felt that way about him in fantasy that I want to have players on my team who I like to root for.
So that seems like a bias.
But that's a bias when it comes to fantasy. But when I'm talking professionally about this team, I say Pollard is there not because Zeke sucks.
No. Yeah.
Or I don't want Zeke to be successful.
You've been high on Pollard.
Yeah. You need Zeke to hit people in the mouth. He's your red zone guy. How many times have you been just screaming and yelling at the screen? Give it to him again inside the five.
All the time.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Let him do that whole eat thing.
Feed him.
Right. And so you need him in December. You need him in January to be strong. The way to do that is give him less mileage at the beginning of the season. Certainly if he's going to be hit behind the line of scrimmage because of your situation.
Yeah.
But I'm also now saying, though, that using Pollard to spell Zeke, I think, might be now as a best laid plan that you have to scrap.
Yeah,
because if you need to get the ball out fast, you need to get a guy in space, you need a quick game, you need somebody that's tough to cover because you also could scheme him free, you could also start him in the backfield, get a matchup problem. That's your guy, man. That's your guy because they're going to key like crazy on CeeDee Lamb.
So you're saying don't use him to spell Zeke. You're saying have him out there as a focal
point
of the offense.
Well, I think the idea of spelling Zeke is now, that's history. You got to get your best guys
out in the field. I agree with you.
You're taking on Cincinnati. They're going to score points. I think this defense, the way Todd Archer was talking about, as one of the best in the league. We saw it last year. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to do it again. Oh, man.
But again, you know,
your margin for error just got really slim.
You know, we can't like crumble and get too worried right now.
I know that. Yeah, there's problems. It's August 25th. I get it, but it's also my job.
A little bit.
Thank you, Jerry. It's my job to assimilate it and then disseminate it, and that's why I think this is now the Eagles' division to take. I think they're the better rostered team.
You might not be wrong about that.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're eager to take your thoughts on the situation. Chris?
Hey, Rich.
I know you just wrote something down for fantasy football.
You should have known that, Chris.
And I know I give you crap for your crazy-ass fantasy league that's drafting this weekend because there's a no time limit, right? There's no time limit. Your guys, 14 teams. There's 14 guys who could take as long as they want to choose a pick, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And what's even worse is that five guys aren't coming. Five guys haven't made the trip, so they're drafting remotely.
I mean, you can't even give them. You can't even give them a look.
Right.
They'll turn their camera off and then turn it back on when it's time to pick.
Exactly.
You should give them time limits.
No idea.
Well, I'm about to join the crazy ass fantasy idea world, and and you have an opportunity, maybe you guys to join me.
Oh, hey. Okay, I'm all ears.
All right. That's next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Also still to come, Warren Sharp on the 2022 season and my sleepers of the season coming up. Chrome Soft Golf Balls. We use them. You should as well. There's a whole family of them. There's a version of the Chrome Soft Golf Ball that suits your game. I use the regular Chrome Soft because it's for the widest range of golfers. If you're a little bit better, there's the Chrome Soft X. If you want something that gives you a lower spin golf ball and longer shots, firmer feel, still high spin around the greens, that means the Chrome Soft XLS is for you. Or, you know, again, the Chrome Soft X is for those who want excellent spin consistency and tour level short game control. You know which golf ball is for you if you don't understand those terms. If you're like, what do you mean by high spin around the greens? What do you mean by tour level short game control? Then the Chrome Soft XLS or the Chrome Soft X, not for you. That's why I choose the Chrome Soft regular. Because I don't know what the hell these other things mean. I should, though. I'd probably be a better player if I'm like, okay, I need more tour level short game control.
Yeah.
I'm just out there swinging. And even I can tell the difference between a Chrome Soft golf ball or one that is not. So it's so simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best, and it's better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Tyler in Oklahoma. Sounds like Cowboys country to me. What's going on, Tyler?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
Tyler?
Here's my question, and I got a good trade proposal for you.
Yes, sir.
Jerry says everything's fine, right?
Well,
same thing, same story every year. Let's shake it up. Why waste any more years of Dak? Why waste any more years of Zeke? Let's go big. Let's make a trade. Zach Martin and a second rounder or a first rounder, if it takes it, to get Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Cooks.
Ooh.
TJ? Sounds pretty... It sounds like you're giving
trade
up... You're
Zach
giving up,
Martin.
You're giving up... Like
who's already been fitted for a gold jacket.
You need that guy.
For Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Cooks? I'm going to have to respectfully disagree.
Yeah, I'll disagree. I'm not moving any more pieces on the offensive line or bringing even a new piece like Laremy Tunsil. I just won't do it.
Nah, not Zach
I can't
Martin.
Do it. And Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's been great on every team that he's at, and then they send him packing. How many teams? Like Rams, Patriots, Saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Texans.
Poor Brandon Cooks.
I know.
I mean, he's such a good player.
He is. Balls out. And then he's traded around. So, yeah, Tyler, I'm sorry. I think we're going to turn you down on that.
Respectfully.
All right. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for the call, man. That's Tyler in Oklahoma.
Get your damn act together.
Thank you, Jones, Mr. Jones. I make fun of your fantasy league all the time.
And rightfully so.
It deserves the
over
scorn.
A
all
decade.
The time.
It over a decade you've been doing this.
Deserves a scorn.
I mean, obviously, Rich, feel free to come over on Saturday if you want.
14 teams is too much.
Way
too many.
Too much. I can't do it.
Too many.
I'm cooking.
And then on top of it, the time limit is The fact that it doesn't exist is insane.
In agreement on
okay,
that.
Okay, so very good. So I just got invited to participate in a fantasy league that ordinarily I would just reject out of hand because I don't need another one.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
But Joe Latrulio, the most delightful human being on planet Earth,
he is
frequent
amazing.
Friend of this program.
Very delightful.
Those who know Brooklyn Nine-Nine know him and so many other things that he's been in. He invited me to a fantasy league. And the fantasy league is called Best Ball. You ever hear this?
No.
Okay. So here's how it goes. 20 roster spots.
Jeez.
Okay. 20 roster spots. You start 9.
Okay.
One quarterback, 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs, a flex, a tight end, and a defense. Okay. So the usual drill. Right
no,
there.
No kicker?
Or is it 3 wide receivers? Yeah, no kicker.
I'm down with that.
No kicker.
No kickers.
No kicker. I believe that is the case.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Let me get this straight. I guess I should have gotten this straight from the very beginning. He texted me that it is, yeah, 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 flex, 1 defense.
Okay.
Now, here's the drill. The 20 players that you get are all you get. You cannot trade. You cannot drop.
Oh.
If they're injured, you lose.
You're stuck with them?
You're stuck. And you don't choose your lineup. The computer chooses it for you based on the point total. You don't choose. Basically, all you do is draft.
Wait.
Let it go.
So you take 20 guys.
Yes.
You are in charge of picking them.
Correct.
Okay? And then each week, you know, all these leagues have projected points,
your
right?
draft position's randomly picked by a computer as well. Then it's a snake draft. 20 rounds to fill the roster. You have 2 hours to make a selection. And so your pick may come up while you're sleeping, so you have to order players.
What?
So it's not randomly selected by a computer and somebody you don't want.
So it could start at any time.
It starts the minute all 12 spots
the draft starts.
Yes.
So it could auto draft, but you can just have your screen open.
But you have your screen open and you have to order the players.
Oh my
gosh.
Or
if you're awake and it's your time to pick,
you can literally make the
correct.
Choice. This is savage.
I have no idea who's in the league. I can only guess. It's.
Did you agree to do this?
I did, and I became the 11th team.
Oh, so
and
there's one slot open,
and he has offered it to the Rich Eisen show because Cannavale is snoozing.
Can I be honest with you? I kind of feel like I'd rather do Brockman's league.
Oh wow!
And I don't even want to. But
and you don't even want to do my league.
No, but you're just going to leave it up to like God's hands and fate, and you just like.
No, I mean like you get an email. Hey, you're on the clock. You then have 2 hours to make a pick, and you don't need to take all 2 hours. You could just go on the site and see who's available.
But if it's 1 in the morning,
you wake up the next day and you see it was your
you got Brian Hartline. Brian Hartline.
Well, I mean, you have the best player available.
Right, best player available.
But you can't.
But it could be. A position you already have, and you only get 20 roster spots for the whole year.
Yeah. Also, one thing I'm very good at in fantasy football, as my league will tell you, I'm very good at coming out on top of trades. So,
yeah, no trades,
if
no
I
pickups,
can't use
no
my
nothing.
GM hat, then that.
No waiver wire pickups, no nothing.
Then what's the point?
I don't know.
Man, this is. Ridiculous.
I mean, no disrespect to this league, but.
Hold on.
So you reject it.
I have another question. Hold on.
Okay. We're back in a second here on the show, on the radio.
Okay. So, the lineup each week, okay, you said, is it? It's all based on whoever has the highest projected point total?
That I'm not particularly familiar with. If the computer is whoever the highest projected point total or has already had the most points in the season so far, yeah. Yeah.
So if I have 4 wide receivers, it's going to take the 3 who are projected the highest
that
week?
Or obviously if the guy's out for a bye or is injured, they're not going to start an injured or a bye week player for you.
So you literally don't set a roster. You just draft 20 guys
and you let it go. And then just pay attention the rest of the year, see how it goes.
What is the buy-in?
Set it and forget it.
Probably like a
nominal
grand.
Amount of money. Nominal. No.
What is the payout at the end? Is it winner take all?
There's a payout at the end that I'm unfamiliar with right now.
See, the thing.
How about this?
Hold on a second. The thing about this is.
Yes.
Fantasy football is like 90% luck, right? You just got to get lucky with injuries.
Correct.
And not having.
Yeah. And this is 100%.
This is literally 100% luck.
Except for the fact that if you are.
You can draft.
Physically drafting,
right.
If you're awake and it's your time to choose and you get the email, you're on the clock. and then you get to choose. You're the one choosing. Otherwise, you should spend the time. Apparently, it takes some time.
To pre-rank.
You have to, yes, you have to sort.
Put them in the queue, as
in your
they
queue,
say.
Yeah, correct.
Put them in the queue. Oy, oy, oy.
It's a lot of work. If it wasn't Latrulio, and if it was you...
Right. If I proposed this to you,
I'd have rejected it.
You wouldn't even let me get one minute of explaining what's going on.
You would have me at goodbye.
Right. Hey, I have an idea for a fantasy week. Click.
Joe is, you know, he doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't invite for much. He doesn't, you know. I'm assuming this is a Paul Rudd, John Hamm included league.
Right. I feel like we should do it just for that.
We don't know though. Until you don't know your draft order or who's in the league until the draft starts, and it doesn't start until the 12th spot is taken. There's one spot left. It's either Cannavale or us, whoever's first to the altar.
So, like, we could literally say yes next hour, and
then
the draft starts.
And if we got the first overall selection, we make it.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Look, guys, I'll be honest with you. This is literally one of the dumbest fantasy ideas I've ever heard, and I'm all in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right.
Let's do it.
Let's get Latrulio on the phone next hour, and then we'll officially tell him that.
All right. We're in.
Let's do it.
This is crazy.
Screw it. Yeah, sure.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show here on YouTube.com/ Rich Eisen Show and Odyssey when we return in a second.
Yeah.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.